from ESPN, brought to you by Recovery Centers America. Call 1-800-RECOVERY, Recovery Centers America, Adam Schefter. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Mark Trey, Bob in Philadelphia, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Are you traveling? Are you making some moves today?
No, but I didn't end up traveling last week. I'm home for Thanksgiving doing Sports Center from home, from my house before the games and the family and the food began. But last Thursday, you'll find this interesting in the Philadelphia area because obviously it was snowing there too. I left ESPN Bristol at 3 in the afternoon, and what ordinarily takes me roughly an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to make that drive from my house in New York to Bristol, Connecticut, about 2 hours, you know, hour 45, 2 hours. Last Thursday, I left at 3 o'clock, and I walked in my front door that night at 11 o'clock.
Oh, wow. That's right. Not good.
So some Sports Center from home then. So we'll get the Adam Schefter in front of the bookshelf a little bit later on, maybe.
That's tomorrow. That'll be Thanksgiving logo fashion. Yes, correct.
Nice.
Schefter, I got to ask you this because I was asked this question yesterday, and my response was, no, it wasn't a mistake. They added talent to their team. Was the Eagles' acquisition, now looking back on it, the fact that they haven't used him, was the acquisition of Golden Tate a mistake?
Well, I think it's too early to call it a mistake. It hasn't worked out the way that they would want so far, obviously. They traded for the guy, and since they traded for the guy, they've lost two games to Dallas and New Orleans. Dallas is a game you think you should win. New Orleans is a game that nobody's winning right now. Nobody's going into New Orleans and being that team the way the Saints are playing. And so when you're 0-2 after you trade for a guy, of course everybody's going to say it's a mistake. But the fact of the matter is, time is running short. The amazing part is, and I understand how discouraging and frustrating the single season has been the exact opposite of last season. But the fact of the matter is, I know people laugh when I say this, they are still right in it in the NFC East. They are right in that division. And they have not played the way that they wanted. They are not playing well. They are not a good football team right now. But they are in the race in the NFC East. That's the amazing part about it.
That's what it is certainly right now. And you've seen cases like this before. And here's what's another interesting thing that goes along to more of the drama of football than anything X's and O's like Golden Tate. But Malcolm Jenkins came out yesterday after former Eagle Jason Avant said that this team looks like they're not listening to their head coach anymore. And he saw guys quit in the Saints game. Malcolm Jenkins came out and acknowledged it, saying that, yeah, he saw players that did not have the right demeanor for the situation they were in. Are you seeing a team right now in Philadelphia that looks like they're giving up a little bit?
Well, you don't go into New Orleans and play that type of game with that type of outcome and think that everybody gave it their all at all times. As the game went on, they got more and more beaten down. And it was like they waved the white flag. Hey, we give up. And I can't point to any specific guys, but it's clear when you go on the road like that and you're a defending Super Bowl champ, like there's never been a defending Super Bowl champion that's ever been beaten like that. Mm-hmm. Ever. So something's not right when that happens. Mm-hmm. And everyone can see that. Anyone watching them knows that they're off. They're not playing well. Not every guy is giving it his all. Whatever it may be, whatever you want to say with Jason Avant or Malcolm Jenkins, things are all, period.
Adam, in your experience, and obviously you've covered the game for a long time now, when you have an offensive-minded head coach that's also the play caller, and then you bring in an offensive coordinator, especially a rookie one like Mike Rowe, who's never held the position before, what are really his responsibilities when it comes to trying to integrate a new piece like Golden Tate?
That's a great question, and I'm sure there's a detailed answer. And I'm sure every team has done this differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't know how they broke that down. Okay, I don't know who's in charge of weaving him in and not weaving him in. The one thing I will say is that when you look at this, is that the departure of Frank Reich may have been a lot bigger than people realized. And when the head coach is tasked with that much, it becomes hard. And when you've got an inexperienced offensive coordinator that's getting the type of results that they had this year, again, something's off. And, just in Cincinnati this past week or last week, Marvin Lewis brought in Hugh Jackson not because of Hugh Jackson's some great coach or anything, but because Marvin was going to take over the defense, and he recognized that he needed help elsewhere. It is such a demanding job, and it's so taxing that if you're going to be calling the plays and do all that, no man can do everything here. So you need all the help you can get. And when they turned to Mike Rowe to do that job, again, he's new in the job, and so it's a major adjustment, and it doesn't come easily, and it doesn't come right away. And again, when we talk about all the things that have gone wrong this year, that would be one of the areas that has not worked out the way that they would like.
Chef, the talk of the week out of the NFL was that Monday night game, the Rams and the Chiefs, and everything that was. Sal Palantonio had a great line after the game. He said it wasn't the game of the week. That was the game of the future of the NFL. Is that the future? Like, do you see it just becoming even more and more offensive, or is this just kind of this year it's like that and teams will adjust and it'll become more defensive again?
You know, it's a really interesting question, and it's kind of where the league has been going. If you look at scoring and points and production, every single year it goes up and up and up and up. Now, are we going to get to the point where teams are tracking it like that? That's hard for me to imagine. I mean, what Monday night was about was cutting-edge play calling, brilliant coaching, great skilled offensive players, all doing their thing in a track meet of a game. I mean, it all kind of worked together. Everybody saw it coming. And, you know, I just don't know that every team's going to have Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff playing quarterback and Kareem Hunt and Ty Gurley playing running back and Tyreek Hill and Brandon Cooks and Robert Woods and all these guys playing those skill positions, Travis Kelce and Gerald Everett. I mean, there was just so much talent in that game. And Andy Reid, everybody in Philadelphia knows, is a great play caller. He's evolved into just a tremendous play caller. And Sean McVay is as brilliant as there is. Okay, so when you put it all together, that may be the future of football, the fact that it's high-flying and up and down the field. But that still is rare and unique, what those two teams have. I mean, it's the reason that they're two of the best teams in the league this year. And so I don't see 54, 51 games on a regular basis in the NFL, but I think we've already seen points, yards, production all increasing every single year, because that's what the NFL wants. That's what the NFL likes. They like these Big 12 kind of games that are fantasy-driven. You know, and I come back to this certainly as a guy who plays it, but fantasy football is so huge in the country, and it captures the interest and imagination of everybody involved. And it makes every game more relevant, so that when you get a Monday night game, like Jacksonville versus Indianapolis, whereas ordinarily people in Philadelphia or Denver or Chicago couldn't care less about a Jacksonville-Indianapolis Monday night game. Now, well, you might have Andrew Luck. You might have Leonard Fournette. And it draws the interest of everybody. And so the league wants points and production and yards piling up, because that caters to the fantasy-driven fan base that now, I believe, you know, is such a part of the NFL culture. And it used to be that when I was, I don't know, 10 years ago, a decade ago, people would stop and say, you know, hey, how are the Eagles going to do this year? Or how are the Giants going to do this year? And now that doesn't happen nearly as much as I get stopped and say, hey, you know, who should I start this week? Who's your sleeper running back? Which guy's going to burst? I mean, there's been a total shift. And the NFL, I think, is catering to that with these rules, with these changes that allow more yards, more points, so that all these fantasy football players are even more excited and more tuned into the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've noticed it too.
Yeah. Now, with our secondary, the way it is right now, as you can see, it's we're limping in there with our secondary. Who's out there that can help us?
You know, it's funny. You know, during the course of the season, I'll do radio shows in Chicago and Denver, where I worked. And I will say that one of the things that Denver has asked me over and over is, who's out there that can help us in the secondary? And then when I call in Chicago, they're like, who can help us in the secondary? And now in Philadelphia, they're asking, who can help us? So let me explain something to you. Literally, it's a theme in almost every city that I've called into at some point during the year. They ask, who's out there that can help us in the secondary? That's like saying, we lost our starting quarterback. Who's out there that we can go get on the street that's going to come in and help? That doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Do you think that there's a defensive back that's out there right now?
Damn it, Shefty, hey, man. Solve our
come
problems.
Come on, man. They just released Pac-Man. Come on.
go sign Adam Pac-Man Jones. Bring him in and see how that works out this weekend against the year. And Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, see how that works out. But it's so funny, though. Like, I mean, honestly, people think that there's just this talent out there that's waiting to be. These teams are scavengers. Like, if there's somebody in the secondary that could play, he would be under contract yesterday.
Right.
Yesterday. Yeah. It doesn't exist.
But you like us more, Adam, so you would tell us. No, but
I've been holding this secret of, like, Sid Finch, defensive prospect, this defensive back that's training in Cambodia that you could bring in now and sign that nobody knows about yet.
Shefty, I got to ask you this one before we let you go. Looking at the NFC East right now, Eagles obviously not sitting pretty. Who do you see coming out of the East at this point with six games left?
You know, listen, we had this conversation on NFL Live on Monday. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. It was me, Tim Hasselbeck, Ryan Clark, and we all had the discussion. And I'm not just saying this. Don't sleep on the Eagles. As horrible as they've been, as bad as they have looked, as terrible as this season has been, as frustrating as every Eagles fan has been, I'm just telling you, the Redskins, without their starting quarterback, without three of their offensive linemen, without their wide receivers, without Chris Thompson, without some defensive, like, do you have any faith that the Washington Redskins are going to pull through? No. Right? I don't.
Right? Yeah, no, I don't.
Then neither do I. Okay? The New York Giants, no. Okay? They're just not good. So we are now down to the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Cowboys, 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, everybody had Jason Garrett fired, Troy Aikman calling for an organizational overhaul. I mean, just think how much changed in 2 weeks. Do you think if they just flipped the switch and everything changed with one trade for Amari Cooper? I don't believe that. So I'm just telling you, Dallas is going to come back down to earth for a little bit. Dallas is not running away with this thing. And if Philadelphia can just get its act together and start playing well, the division is there for the Eagles to take. I'm not telling you they'll do it, but I'm telling you, I get back to our point, it's right there for them to. I come bringing hope on the day before Thanksgiving. Okay?
And we are thankful for that.
Now, we're putting this as a report, Adam. We're saying, per league sources, Adam Schefter says the Eagles are winning the East. That's all we're going to do.
No. Schefter says there's hope in Philadelphia. Yes.
Don't sleep on the Eagles, Adam Schefter.
Correct. Per sources.
Adam, I mean this sincerely. I really appreciate you coming on with us every week. And if there's anything I'm thankful for, it's being able to talk to you every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Very happy Thanksgiving to you and your families, the entire city. And hopefully for everybody's sake, the Eagles season does get better. But more Bob Trey, thank you guys very much. And thank you to all the listeners who tune in every week, and I hope everybody has a tremendous Thanksgiving with their families.
You're the man. Thanks so much, Shefty. Have a good one, buddy. Thank you so much.